Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of church fellowship, we were taught that forgiveness is one of the most important elements in fellowship. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, I want to close this part on caring with these thought-provoking questions. First, ask yourself, am I measuring and looking to see what people are doing for me instead of wondering what I can do for them? Secondly, how can I show care for Christ concerning those things that are closest to His heart? Then finally, am I fulfilling the true sense of the word fellowship in my care for my brothers and sisters in my local church? If you can define how that you are doing these things, then my friend, I believe that you're on the right road to fellowship. Now, I have this one other area, and that is the area of forgiveness, which is the next chapter. Now, a fellowship of believers is a commitment of believers to one another. Now, to be a truly biblical local church, we must be a fellowship. That fellowship must include agape, love, and caring. Yet, fellowship must include other virtues as well. Forgiveness is one of the most important elements of fellowship. Ephesians 4:32 states, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Remember Jesus teaching us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, to forgive is desirable in all relationships, especially in the local church. Now, we must realize, however, that when we as individuals or church extend forgiveness to someone, it will often be criticized. Most often, the phrase used is, "They don't deserve forgiveness for what they did." Well, as you know, by Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Isaiah 64:6 says that we are all as an unclean thing, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, my friend, if we're going to look at it from that vantage point, then we need to understand that, wow, goodness gracious, I didn't deserve salvation either, and I don't deserve any kind of forgiveness from God. Yet God gives it to us, and He wants us to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now, when a church is unforgiving, it will often result in a lack of spiritual growth. Notice the gravity placed on this virtue by our Lord Jesus Himself in Matthew 6:14-15. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That makes it very serious to be an unforgiving person. That's strong language. Now, Paul reiterated this teaching of Christ in Colossians 3:13, where we read, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." An unforgiving spirit can be a hindrance to revival, and if there is a revival, it can stop it if we persist in an unforgiving spirit as individual Christians, or as a local church. So often one hears the phrase, I see no evidence of repentance in their life. Perhaps we do not understand the word repent. Repent means to change the mind, but it also means to turn away from. Both those are not different, opposite, opposing definitions. They're hand in hand, they're the same coin, two sides of the same coin. You change your mind about forgiveness, and you turn away from that former attitude. When one is in sin, and they repent, they're actually turning away from that sin. Now, our sin, we could not turn away from it, so we turn to God to help us turn away from that sin. And we can only have victory over sin through Him. So they turn from their sin with the desire not to commit that sin any longer. We remember in 1 Corinthians 5, the story is told of the man having an adulterous relationship with his stepmother. Paul told the church, in essence, it's not grace or mercy to tolerate this sin. Put this man out from your assembly. Now, that's kind of my paraphrase there, but that's what's going on. The church obeyed, and in 2 Corinthians, we see Paul telling the church to receive the man back into their church. He had repented. But there were those that thought, well, they should require more of this young man. Now, we do not read that the young man became a soul winner, a missionary, or a fiery, dedicated Christian. But what we do see is that he repented. That is, he turned from his sin, which is what the Bible calls for. And a lot of times we expect him to become this great soul winning and missionary or something else type of a Christian. And when you're not that yourself. And so to put a greater expectation on them than you do yourself is hypocritical. See, that man turned from his sin. He was no longer in adultery with the stepmother. Now, often people want to see evidence of strong, consecrated Christian living and witness. And if that's the case, you may need to put many members out of the church who are not living for Jesus Christ as they ought. They're faithful to church services, and yet they're somewhat carnal. Now, I have witnessed this, and I'm sure you have as well, or perhaps some of you have, of maybe somebody being put out of a church or been brought for discipline, and they repent. The person repents. They say, you know what, I was wrong. This is wrong. It's brought up. It's brought before the church. They repent. They ask for forgiveness. But I've seen those that says, well, they've got to go to psychological Christian counseling before we can bring them back in. Well, that might sound good to the modern religious man, but it's not scriptural. The Lord said to Peter, if they come back to you and say, I repent 70 times in a day, then he says, you do it 7 times in a day. So 70 times 7. So again, I might have doubts after 7 times in a day or 70 times 7, but that's what the Lord said to do. Now, often an unforgiving spirit is a result of self-centered, egotistical Christian living. Someone wronged you, and you want your pound of flesh. To illustrate, have you ever seen someone that was wronged? They found out and were quite angry. And you may have said, look, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And that is probably a fair evaluation. However, if the same thing happens to you, then there's a whole new perspective on the case. If we thought they overreacted, and then we act as they acted when we were wronged, then it is evident that we have self-centered egos. Often, one says, I'm seeking a spiritual victory in this matter. Well, the truth is, they're taking vengeance, but using the Lord's name to alleviate their own conscience. Now, friend, when there is a revival in the church and when there are souls being saved, Satan will get angry and seek to sow discord in the church. No wonder the Bible says that's an abomination, and Satan loves to be abominable. And so people will say things that pop into their mind. It is wrong, and they should not have said it. Satan tempted them. They said it. And unfortunately, they lost the battle with temptation. Satan will also see to it that you hear what was said. It may be a slander. It may insinuate that someone is being unethical without making an actual charge. It may be about the pastor. It may be about a fellow member. They might imply that there is wrongdoing. They may give you inaccurate information or use facts in such a way as to give a false impression. That now is a temptation Satan is placing in front of you. And God knows it, but God has trusted you with it. God's trusted you to handle this situation rightly. You may seek to get back at the person instead of seeking to turn them to righteousness. You may then develop an unforgiving spirit, and in time, a bitter spirit. Satan will help backslidden and unsaved people see the hypocrites in the church, because it's easy for Satan to sow unforgiving spirits in their minds in order to ease their conscience about their backslidden condition. We have no greater example of being a forgiving person than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, 21-25, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called." Now again, this is our calling. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now think once again of the word fellowship. An unforgiving spirit is diametrically opposed to fellowship. When we have an unforgiving spirit, we tear down one of the pillars of the local church, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Do you remember that passage where he said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Again, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, prayers, doctrine, Bible doctrine, and fellowship, right on that same level. Is there someone that's wronged you? Are you holding a grudge? Perhaps they will never feel they're wrong and never apologize. And you'll have to forgive them in your heart, and it must be in your heart, so that if they ever ask forgiveness, you can extend it to them.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.